Okay, we're all set.
Tonight we're here to talk about clearing clutter for good for you and your community. And I'm very pleased to have Ellen Thornhill, Communications Director for the Goodwill Organization serving Central Virginia and Hampton Roads, co-presenting with me tonight. Together we will give you information about how clutter clearing can be good for you, good for your family, but also good for the community. And we're really not here to talk about clearing clutter forever, as the words clear clutter for good might suggest, because I'm sure you all know that clearing clutter and being done with that process is just not possible. We're here to offer a different way to look at the positive effects of clutter clearing. I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes about how clutter clearing is good for you individually and for your family. Feng Shui, the Chinese art of placement, teaches that what you have in your space affects what happens in your life. When you live exclusively with what you love or use, your home will be filled with a positive energy, attracting more positive into your life. When you live in a space with lots of things that no longer serve you, you're living with a lot of clutter. And clutter holds negative energy. And negative energy attracts more of the same into your life and can manifest in all kinds of problems, challenges in relationships, obstacles to achieving your goals, reduced productivity, prosperity, and creativity. When you clear clutter, you shift the overall energy of your space in a positive direction. Clearing clutter can make space for new good things to come to you. Reduce stress, improve mental clarity, increase productivity, and you will feel empowered. Life won't be perfect because we will always have challenges in our lives. But when you are relatively clutter-free, it will be much easier to deal with them. And you will have much more good in your life than if you're living in a space filled with clutter. I can't tell you how many times I've worked with clients to clear clutter and something really good happened to them. One of my friends cleared out one corner of her living room, which happened to be the wealth and prosperity corner from a feng shui perspective, and she got a $2,000 raise soon after. And you might say, oh, that's just coincidence. What's really interesting is she works for a state agency, so getting that kind of raise is pretty major. And the state never had given that kind of raise for that type of employee before, so it was really unusual. Another client of mine cleared out the relationship corner in her house. She wanted to have a long-term relationship. It was soon after that she met the man who later became her husband. So when you clear clutter, you make space for new good things to come to you individually. Now, when you live with minimal clutter, you are able to be your best self. You will, because you'll be less stressed, less exhausted, less irritated, because clutter is really irritating, you will be, your behavior and your feelings will result in you being a better person in the way that you relate to others, especially your family. If you're not stressed, you're not irritated, your family is going to see the best you and interact with the best you. Feng Shui teaches that everything is connected. Therefore, your energy affects the energy of everyone you encountered, your family especially. When you are living mostly clutter-free, and I say mostly because it's impossible to be totally clutter-free for anybody. I'm a professional organizer and fairly anal retentive. And I'm not clutter-free, even though I work really hard at it. So I'm saying relatively clutter-free. When you are living relatively clutter-free, you're more able to be a bright light in your family, a positive energy that will affect all family interactions for the better. So when you clear clutter, you can get more good for you individually and for your family. Ellen?
Thank you so much for letting me be a part of this call and talk to your followers. We're so grateful for the partnership that we have with you, Debbie. The part of this particular discussion, the community, the good for the community aspect of our partnership with Debbie is what I'm going to talk about for a moment. I work and represent one of the 165 Goodwill organizations around the country. We're the organization that operates stores and other business enterprises in Central Virginia and the Hampton Roads. Some people think of it around the country as the Eastern Shore area of Virginia. And we operate 27 stores and a number of other small business enterprises like Document Destruction, and we have a robust computer recycling program. All of those exist for our mission. And a lot of folks don't really think beyond the great deals that they find at Goodwill or that it's a convenient place to get rid of my clutter, which we surely appreciate. But it really goes much deeper than that, meaning that your efforts to donate to Goodwill and to shop at Goodwill are doing a lot for your local community. And what I mean by that is what Goodwill is really in the business of is helping individuals who have disabilities and other obstacles get the job training and the experience and the opportunities that they need to be successful in the workplace and then achieve permanent long-term employment. So, for example, we have programs that have all kinds of different names. It took me 2 years of working here before I could get all the acronyms right. We're the best at giving nicknames to things, but we have programs called supported employment programs, work adjustment programs, transition to independence and employment programs, and each of those is customized for the group of individuals within, in our case, the Central Virginia and Hampton Roads communities and their specific needs. Supported employment tends to help individuals who have an intellectual and or physical disability, because their needs for training and their supports that they would need and the length of time that they would need support in the workplace is much, much more intensive than some of our other individuals that we serve. And kind of moving along the other direction of the spectrum of obstacles to employment, we also run community employment centers around our region. And those are offices that are open just like any other business, Monday through Friday, and they're staffed by professional job coaches, skills trainers, and any job seeker can go into any one of those community employment centers without an appointment and have access to computers, access to fax machines, telephones, basic tools that you need to conduct your job search, but also professional guidance from the staff on how to write a resume, how to fill out a job application, how to fill out a job application online, which for some of us is kind of a new thing, and a number of other things, how to conduct yourself in an interview, how to dress for success. And then we also offer training on some basic things like computer skills. So what's so wonderful and what is often missed by the people that I know that Debbie works with and that donate to us on a regular basis, people donate and they're happy to do so, but they don't realize the depth to which they're having an impact on the community when they donate to Goodwill. So that's the piece of kind of our joint message of clearing clutter is good for you, good for your family, and good for the community. It's because of what's really behind the mission at Goodwill. And I should say, because I know that Debbie has an international audience, we do have Goodwill organizations all around the world. We've got representation in 14 countries other than the U.S. and Canada. And like I said, we have 165 in North America. But each one does operate independently and as a member of Goodwill International so that we can each really serve the specific needs and take advantage of the specific work and job experience opportunities that each market has, which can be very different. So believe it or not, and who knows, maybe there's someone on this call that or listening to this teleseminar who can say this, there's that one or two Goodwill organizations, believe it or not, that don't even operate stores.
Oh.
They operate other businesses that work better in the markets where they are.
Interesting. I want to just ask you some questions, too.
Sure.
Because we've talked at length about what Goodwill does, and I'm a great, huge Goodwill supporter myself. It's on my way home, and that's where I take things that I pick up from my clients. And how much of the revenue that's generated by Goodwill goes back into the job training programs?
Well, and that's, I'm so glad you asked that, because that's a statistic I'm very proud of. And I speak in this regard for all of Goodwill, Goodwill International. Across the board, at least 82% of all of the revenue that all of the Goodwills take in on an annual basis go back into the programs that we operate. Again, in the case of our Goodwill organization here in Central Virginia and Hampton Roads, we operate over 20 job training and career development programs, and that's what that revenue is supporting. In terms of something else I'd like to mention is how effective are we? And again, thanks to those donations, and thanks to you stopping by the store near your home many times a week, I know you do, we're able to serve usually between 15 and 20,000 individuals through our various programs. A lot of those are those job seekers coming in for one or two pieces of advice in our community employment centers, but a big chunk of that are those folks who require more intensive services. And also, we are able to document, sometimes that's a challenge with some of the folks that we serve, but we know for a fact that we placed into long-term employment, which is employment for more than six months, I believe. We had placed close to 2,000 individuals last year into permanent employment, again, in the Central Virginia and Hampton Roads area. That number is in the millions when you look at all 165-plus Goodwill organizations around the world.
Wow. You know, some of my clients are worried that the things that they donate, if they don't get used, are just going to end up in a landfill. Can you talk a little bit about what happens to the things that you can't sell in the stores?
Yes. Well, we like to pride ourselves and say that we've been recycling before recycling was cool and hip, because we've been around since 1902, Goodwill International. And what we do is, first of all, again, this is a Goodwill of Central Virginia Hampton Roads statistic. But I think it's pretty on par around the country. About 75 to 78% of what is donated, we are able to squeeze revenue out of one way or the other, again, to support our programs. And we take a lot of pride in that and feel like that is our responsibility to you, the donor. The things that don't sell, first of all, they go through a real rigorous, what we call post-retail process in hopes of selling. We have, believe it or not, for as great as those deals are at Goodwill, we operate outlets where you can get things for even less. So things that don't sell in our stores in a certain period of time will end up in the outlet and sell for pennies on the dollar. And then we also operate here in Central Virginia. We don't do this in Hampton Roads yet, but in Central Virginia, we operate Monday through Friday merchandise auctions. So some of the more unusual items that you know, your routine Goodwill store shopper might not have an interest in ends up in our auctions and is sold to people who many times are running their own business enterprises, resale shops or stores or businesses. So we kind of feel we get excited about that because we feel like again, the goods that people are entrusting to us were. Those are supporting other people's businesses, yeah. Which is terrific. So very little of it ends up in the what we call salvage category, and that does, we do have relationships with salvage dealers. So that little bit that's left, we will turn over to them and, again, earn revenue on our for our mission, and then they take that material and they end up reselling it and doing a variety of things with it, recycling it and other things.
Interesting. And so I've heard that by donating to Goodwill and by your repurposing the post-retail part of your business, that there are fewer things ending up in landfills. Now, is there a statistic about that, too?
There, the past few years, we have consistently, and again, this is Goodwill of Central Virginia and Hampton Roads, we've kept 27 million pounds of household goods out of our area landfills. And the statistic, there's a wonderful website, if you're able to, again, for those of you that are in other locales besides Central Virginia, you can go to donate.goodwill.org, and that's our Donate Movement website, which is an initiative Goodwill International and all of we members kind of rallied behind a couple of years ago to really encourage people to understand the impact of their donations. And there you can see our running tote board of internationally how many pounds of goods we're keeping out of the landfills around the world. And it's an astounding statistic. The 27 million that I mentioned here locally, 2 million of that is actually, I mentioned the e-recycling program, 2 million of that are actually hazardous donated computer equipment. And I say hazardous that if we didn't take it and we didn't properly refurbish and resell it or properly demanufacture it, those goods would likely end up overseas where individuals, where there are not regulations like what there are here, and individuals would be exposed to some of the dangerous materials that are in computer equipment. And that number, that 2 million figure is, you know, the height of our figure, of our efforts at this point on an annual basis, but it grows every year.
Okay. It's amazing to me how complicated this is because I had no idea. You know, we see the stores I buy from Goodwill as well as donate. So this has been so helpful to hear about. I had one more question, and it just ran right out of my head. Shoot, oh, I know what it was. I just wanted to reiterate that I think it's real exciting that you do accept computer equipment.
Yeah.
Because many of my clients didn't know that. And it's like they have dead bodies lying all around their offices of computers that they don't know what to do with. I have a lot of people say to me, I have to clear the hard drive. I can't donate it yet. What do you all do when the things come to you in terms of the hard drives? And
That is a great question. First of all, we do encourage the donor to wipe the hard drive themselves. But even if they don't, there's a couple of different options. We can give them the hard drive, and they can, you know, that does reduce the amount of, as you say, dead bodies they have around. It's
right.
A smaller dead body. But the other thing is we hold ourselves to a standard where we wipe every hard drive that comes to us, even if the donor were to say, we don't even ask this, but if the donor were to say, yeah, I wiped the hard drive, it's completely clean, we still wipe it twice based on Department of Labor security standards.
Okay, that's good to
know. So our crew here wipes it twice. And then we go from there. So people can feel very confident. As I mentioned earlier, another business we run that is, you know, even lesser known than the mission behind our stores is this document destruction business. And we take security very seriously in that area, and that filters into our entire organization. Some of our clients in the document destruction arena, we have a lot of commercial clients. It's primarily commercial document destruction, although we do some residential as well. But we have... the city police department, we have a very well-known regional bank in this part of the country. So we're handling really sensitive documents through document shredding. So we take that security piece, that permeates our entire organization. Plus we have, when you think about all the individuals, the 15,000 to 19,000 individuals that we serve every year, there's confidential health information. So
right.
we just everywhere you turn at Goodwill, you don't think about it, we just think about the stores, but everywhere you turn, security is an issue, and we brought that philosophy to our e-recycling program as well.
Wonderful. Well, let's move on to how you do it, how you make donations, because some people get hung up at this point. It seems too overwhelming, and I have some opinions, as I often do, about good ways to make this happen and to be successful at it. Some people have good intentions, but the stuff never leaves their house. Some people think that it is not a great thing to do. It's just not their thing to do. So I'm going to go over some tips for donating, and then we'll turn it over to you for do's and don'ts about what you can donate to Goodwill.
And those are great questions. Good.
The very first thing that I think is important is that you establish a donation station, which is a location in your house where you can accumulate things to donate as you find them. I'm hoping that many of you out there donate all along. You don't wait for the spring cleaning, which I'm not even sure that happens anymore. It did when I was younger, I think. But that it's happening more often when you're accumulating things and putting them in your car and taking them to Goodwill. But I have a hunch there are people out there who don't make donation a regular habit in a regular process, because I get to see all that stuff that's still hanging out. One way to signal yourself to donate is to create a donation station, a place where you can accumulate those items until you have enough for a bag or a box to go. I actually have keep an area in my office closet where I accumulate things until I have enough to fill a bag and take them out to my car. And good locations for a donation station are the closet of a guest room, near the front door, in the utility room, or in the garage. And really, it can be out of sight if you remember that it's there, but if you're not good at remembering things like there are some people who it's just harder to remember when you've set up something, then I recommend keeping it out where you can see it. And the idea is that if you're donating at least once a week, which is a very, very wonderful habit, is that you just, as you find things, anytime you're in a drawer, cabinet, or closet, you're looking for things that you no longer love or use, they go into that bag or box and then move on out. So create a donation station to cue you to donate.
We will sometimes say to our shoppers in our stores, we'll say, oh, you bought one, so you need to donate two.
Oh, yeah.
To try to encourage, you know, people to think about, you know, I've purchased one thing, I should get rid of two things.
That's a great way not to fill your house to the brim, especially if you want to be more clutter-free. Mm-hmm. Is make a deal with yourself to have at least one go out, and preferably two if you want to really make progress. That's a great suggestion. Thank you for sharing that. My second suggestion is that you donate constantly. Don't wait for the big purge. Every time you look in a closet, drawer, cabinet, or cupboard, keep an eye out for items that you no longer love or use. Items that are no longer loved or used have a static negative energy that is not helpful to you. Donate them. Anytime I get something new to put in a drawer, I look at the drawer and what's in there. And if the drawer, especially if the drawer is a little tight, I'm searching for stuff to purge, and it's amazing almost every time I can find something.
I just made a connection to something that happened to me over the holidays. I decided to clean out all the drawers in my kitchen of all the utensils and duplicate utensils and bring what I could to Goodwill. I'll tell you later that we don't take knives, but for now, I took everything but the duplicate knives to Goodwill. And I just realized I was commenting to some friends a couple weeks after I did that, that I had really gotten a surge back. I had kind of gotten my cooking Jones came back.
Oh, wonderful.
And I have really been into preparing really good meals and pulling out some old family recipes and things. And I just now talking to you, I was thinking about my drawers, and I realized I think that's what opened that up for me.
Ah, you made space.
I made space for that, and it was the cooking part, which doesn't come naturally or super easily to me, though I enjoy it, has been coming very easily, much easier.
Well, it's because you don't have barriers.
Yeah.
When you have clutter in your space, it's a barrier to doing whatever it is you want to do in that space.
And I'm so happy every time I open those drawers to put things away, because they look great and I see space. Yes, it's wonderful.
Yeah. The clutter is very stressful.
Yes.
Very stressful. Next, make sure that the items you donate are in good condition and function properly. Goodwill really doesn't need broken things. Broken things aren't good for you or anybody else.
Well, and let me comment on that. If you'll keep in mind, again, the mission, again, we want to price things fairly and generate as much revenue out of what you took the time to donate as we possibly can for our mission programs. So you're right. Broken things that don't work anymore, we're not able to resell. So then we have to, you know, it may end up that we have to salvage that or dispose of it.
Right.
And the dispose piece ends up costing us money.
Right.
So, and that eats into the mission revenue.
Right. So good things that aren't in good condition or function properly should probably be taking the dump or putting the trash.
Right, right.
Okay. If you're in debt, the next is, if you're in doubt about whether an item is one that charities can use, what I recommend to my clients is donate it and let the charity determine its usefulness. Rather than, some people I've noticed get really hung up They don't know whether it's donatable, so they don't do anything with it. And it's better that it move along, especially for you, because, again, it's a block to you having good come to you. Move it along and let the charity decide.
And I do think that that's a good piece of advice, and I think that hopefully hearing about our post-retail aspect that's kind of beyond behind our stores,
yes,
will make people feel better about that, because you would be amazed at the number of ways and the different places where we can put those items and they will sell.
Great. That's such good information. Don't assume that an item is worthless, that if it's worthless to you, that it will be worthless to other people. Some people have nothing, and the items you release could be gold to them. I will never forget a story by a woman who was helping me take items to homeless people at one point, and she said, that chair that you gave me was one of two pieces of furniture in that man's room that he was able to get. He had a TV and a chair. He had nothing in that room. And many of us don't even know how to think about people living like that, but that is a fact out there. There are many people in our community that they literally have left their home with nothing, or they've ended up homeless for one reason or another, and what they can get from a charity is a real blessing. So what's not a blessing to you might be a blessing to somebody else.
Also, it's hard to conceive of all the different kinds of collectors that there are out there.
Oh, yeah.
And so those, my eyes have been widened over the past few years of working at Goodwill and realizing that the kinds of unique and unusual things that people think we wouldn't want to have in our stores are the things that sell the fastest and the best. So that's great advice for you to give.
That's something I don't know a whole lot about, is the range of what people collect. That would be fascinating to talk about. We'll have to talk about that later, because, yeah, collectors,
yes,
search the Goodwills. They really do. When the next is when bags or boxes of items are filled, take them immediately to your car. What I find when I'm in clients' homes and attics and garages is bags of things, that's going to donate. That's going to Goodwill, and it's still sitting there. And I'm thinking to myself, why is it sitting here? Why wouldn't you want to get it out right away? But I think in some cases people aren't conscious of how good it feels when you get it gone. You can't experience the benefit of the clearing until it's out of there, and truly out of the house in your car, until it's out of the car at Goodwill. So when they've been identified for donation, and you don't remove them quickly, they become negative static energy and can be experienced as clutter. So move them out the same day or first thing the next day so that you can experience the full benefits of clutter clearing. Also, donate items in the easiest way possible, preferably to a charity that is close to you. And I hope you've got a Goodwill store close to you. I know in Richmond we have them all over the place. I can find a Goodwill truck or a Goodwill store just about in any part of town.
Well, we do have over 2,000 retail and donation locations around the U.S. and Canada.
Wow.
So we are pretty convenient for most people.
Wonderful. Resist the urge to find just the right home for items that you no longer love or use. I have clients that make a job out of donating. They've decided they're going to get rid of something, but they have to find just the right place for it. And that's a job. That's work. And that can be a barrier to getting rid of things. For number one, it creates more work for you, and it can be an unconscious way of holding on to things that no longer serve you. I think sometimes people say, yeah, I'll get rid of it, but then they come up with all these reasons. It's got to go to just the right person, and then they never really get rid of it. Often finding the right home never happens. Trying to find just the right home for things can also be a manifestation of perfectionism and can result in items being identified for donation but never making it to the donation location. So don't worry about it. What I've said to people before is trust that what you're donating is going to end up in just the right place. And I truly believe that. I don't have to figure out where it should go. I give it to Goodwill, and then it ends up where it's really meant to make the biggest difference.
Right. And if, again, if people, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to talk to your members of your community so that they can have a heightened awareness of that and feel better about and feel like I am getting it to the right place when I donate it to Goodwill.
Yes. Remember, this is the final tip, is remember that when you donate unwanted items that you are releasing negative energy from your home. And what you're doing with those items is you're reactivating the energy of the items so that they can be repurposed and sold for a good cause and make a difference in your community. You're doing good for the community when you're clearing your clutter. So clearing clutter is not all about what's happening to just you.
Right.
When you put it out there to be repurposed, sold, and used for worthy causes like Goodwill's job training, job placement programs, you're making a big difference in your community.
That's right. And, you know, a little statistic that I'll throw out that I found amazing when I first got involved with the Goodwill movement, one grocery bag of clothing that you're going to donate and items, on average, that generates $27 in revenue in our store, which is pretty astounding when you realize how, you know, the average cost of a piece of clothing in Goodwill adult clothing is $4.99. For kids, it's $1.99.
Uh-huh.
So that's amazing, and it costs us about $50 to provide an individual with 8 hours of computer training. So you are... Even that one bag once a week has such a potential to change lives, and that's what we're all about, and that's what donating to Goodwill. We want people to understand that that's what they're doing when they donate to Goodwill.
Wonderful.
And having said all that, now I'm going to tell you some of the things we don't want to get and some of the things that we really do need on an ongoing basis. I was telling Debbie earlier, we get a lot of phone calls into our customer care center here in Central Virginia, people wanting to know, you know, do you accept this? Can I donate that? Which we so appreciate that people check that out ahead of time. Let me just mention a couple of the things that people ask most often about that we are unable to accept. We aren't able to, and again, I have to say I'm speaking for the majority of Goodwill organizations, I am sure, but I am certainly speaking for Goodwill of Central Virginia and Hampton Roads. Some of the Goodwill organizations, again, because we each operate independently, might have some different stipulations, but I know from our work with other organizations within the Goodwill network, it's about the same. We can't take large household appliances. They're difficult to sell, and then there's, what do you do with it? If we do have to dispose of it, there's an expense there that eats into the mission. We're not able to take mattresses and box springs for some obvious reasons, the heightened awareness about bed bugs, of course. So no mattresses or box springs. Here in Central Virginia and Hampton Roads, we are only able to accept flat screen televisions now. The larger box TVs that I grew up with, that I'm sure many of us grew up with, also known as the cathode ray tube televisions, those are very large. They sometimes are difficult for our donation attendants to even lift, and they don't sell, and they're an issue to discard. So you have to actually look to some of the electronics retailers, H.H. Gregg, Best Buy, some of those types of organizations, they will accept those older televisions, usually for a small fee. Some of the other things that we can't take are, as I mentioned, my knives that I couldn't donate. We can't take weapons of any kind, and large kitchen knives and that type of thing we try to avoid. We also, there are some things that the Consumer Product Safety Commission just, that often end up on their list of recalled items, things like baby gear, obviously baby mattresses, cribs, high chairs, car seats, those types of things that tend to get recalled that are very safety oriented, we don't accept. And that's really kind of it in the not accept. Now, the things we do accept are probably the things that many of you who are listening would donate routinely anyway. Clothing is a huge seller for us, and the big thing we ask is that they be gently used. We ask folks to think in terms of, gosh, is this something that I would give to a friend or a relative? And if it is, then it's going to be a great donation to Goodwill and something that's going to help our mission. Shoes, furniture that's in good condition. We do accept linens, sheets, towels, that type of thing. Jewelry, antiques, books, other media, DVDs, CDs, that type of thing. Household, small household appliances, handbags and scarves and hats and mittens and those sorts of things sell very well. And again, at no charge to the donor, we accept the computer equipment and peripherals, whether it's working or not, any brand, any era, we will take those. We partner with Dell for that. Again, we take everything including Dell, and it's because that partnership affords us the ability to partner with them. They're really at the forefront for the computer manufacturers in proper recycling. And then, let's see, those are really, you know, dishes and glassware and art. All of that are great sellers.
Seasonal decorations too.
Seasonal
right?
decorations are a huge hit, especially, you know, Halloween. I think of us as the Halloween headquarters. You know, that's great fun too. I mean, people come and create their own costumes through things they find at Goodwill, but we also have a lot of actual ready-made costumes that get donated in the decorations. So
we have furniture.
And we have furniture, lots of furniture, lamps. You know, it's just rugs, area rugs.
Oh, nice.
And the other thing that is astounding to all of us who work here at Goodwill is the number of items that aren't just gently used, they're never been used.
Uh-huh.
We get a lot of things that are already still in their packaging or still have the original price tag on, and needless to say, those are great treasures for the people who shop our stores. Or who are looking for a really good deal on something they'd really like to have, but they don't want to pay an arm and a leg for. So, so those are the kinds of things. And I'd be happy to, if anyone has questions about something specific that they have, I'm certainly happy to answer those questions at the end.
Great. I want you to tell everybody about your shoes. I think that's a great story.
I almost wore those today, Debbie, because I like them so much. I happened to be in one of our stores here in Central Virginia a couple weeks ago. I was actually telling them about a program that Debbie's company and Goodwill are doing, which we're going to talk about in a moment. And I decided that I'd nose around a little bit and see if there was anything that I could find for myself. And I ended up stumbling upon a pair of Salvatore Ferragamo leather pumps. And for anybody who doesn't know who that is, he's a long time, that's a shoe fashion house in Italy. And they make, you know, $500 and up leather pumps, boots, shoes. I think he probably makes handbags as well. I don't know because I don't typically shop for Ferragamo unless it's at Goodwill. But I got them a fabulous pair of pumps, and Debbie saw me in them yesterday. And not only are they just wonderful leather, in wonderful shape, they are so comfortable, and they cost me $5.
Wow.
So I'm really happy with the shoes, that's one of, you know, 100 things I now have in my closet.
You can go treasure hunting.
Yes.
At Goodwill.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I know I have helped people clear out clothing with price tags on it.
Yeah.
You know, when we finally dig it out of everything, and it doesn't fit them anymore or whatever, has ended up in Goodwill, so yes, for sure.
And that makes
there are new things.
That makes our shoppers so happy. So they, you know, that your clients do. They need to know that they're putting a smile on someone's face somewhere. Not to mention, again, the revenue from the sale of that brand new item in a Goodwill goes to help the mission.
Great. I'm going to talk for just a couple minutes on simple tracking for taxes, and you might be wondering what the heck this has to do with Goodwill and donations. It doesn't really have anything to do with it, except that Goodwill does do the shredding, and ideally anything that you are going to be getting rid of that has to do with taxes, you'll shred. But this is tax time, and so I thought I'd share just a couple of tips so that you can get off started on the right foot this year with controlling paper for taxes. Also, paper is the topic of the month for the Clear Clutter for Good online program. And the easiest thing that I find, if you want to do the simplest thing to keep track of your papers for taxes, is create one file folder that says current taxes. Or you can put the current year, whatever suits you, and have one place where all tax papers can be deposited. I'm not a big fan of shoeboxes. And if you want to separate them out as the year goes along, what I have done in mine, some people don't want to do that, but this is an option, is to create one folder that is general information. That's your personal property taxes, your real estate tax form and mortgage interest and all that stuff. One for medical receipts and one for charity. Those, and if you have a business, there's one for business expenses. Those are the main ways that paper sorts out that you want to keep track of. And for clearing out old taxes, I have some people have said they have taxes from when they first began doing taxes 40 years ago, and they're keeping everything, which is a lot of dead paper kept somewhere. First of all, do not keep past taxes except the previous year in your home office. Unless you know that you refer to it often. They don't have to be there. The home office is a place where you want to be able to take action. If you got a lot of dead stuff in there, you won't even care about doing anything. So what I recommend is that you archive anything older than 1 year. Put it in a paper box, one of those banker's boxes. Put it up in your attic or in the place where you store things. And for some people, it might be in the garage, the attic, the basement. And label it past taxes. And as far as how long to keep papers, I've heard various things. If you get a W-2 and don't have a business, I've heard you can hold on to them for as little as 3 years and be safe, unless you've committed fraud. Apparently, they can come after you forever if you've committed fraud. And if you have a business, it's recommended you keep everything for 7 years. And after that time period, it's also recommended you keep the tax form for every year, but you can get rid of the supporting documentation, and that's what should be shredded. And yeah. The way that I do that myself is when tax time happens, I keep the current tax form on file in my office for the current year, the one I'm filing for, and I usually have one for the previous year. So at most, I have two at a time in my office. And then I take all the supporting documentation with the taxes I just filed up to the attic. I put them in a great big manila envelope, list the tax year, dispose of in, and I do it 7 years because I have a business. And I take it up to the attic, and I have bins up there, one for personal, one for business. And I pull out the one in the front, which is the oldest taxes, to take downstairs and shred. And I put the newest one at the back of that container. So every year, one comes out, one goes in. So every year, something's being purged. When I pull that old tax collection together, I make sure that I pull the actual tax form out to save and archive, but I get rid of all the supporting documentation. And that, to me, is an easy way to deal, to funnel paper down so you have what you need when you need it, and then to be clearing it out on a regular basis. Tax papers are negative energy. They don't make us feel good. Well, none of us are thrilled about filing taxes, so why keep any more than you absolutely have to?
I learned something from you every time I interact with you, Debbie. That you just gave me a couple of really good tips that I don't follow for tax purposes that I'm now going to follow.
Okay.
And I'll mention something. Again, for those folks who are local, of course, if they have documents and they want it confidentially shredded, they can bring them to our main facility in Richmond, which is 6301 Midlothian Turnpike, and we do shred for individuals. We have folks that walk in every day with their bags of stuff
for
to
free?
Shred. No, there's a small fee, depending on the amount.
Okay.
I think we do a certain amount free of charge, but then if it goes beyond that. But it's very reasonable, and we
right.
do it right here on site. But also I wanted to mention, again, not to add to the clutter, but I do hope that as folks are donating to Goodwill, that they are asking for, if not given automatically, that they're asking for a donation receipt. Because depending on their tax situation and what their tax advisor says, those receipts can become very valuable in their tax deduction efforts for that tax year. So I just want to encourage folks. I know in Central Virginia and Hampton Roads, we tried very hard, whether people asked for it or not, to say, would you like one? And there's people that don't, and they don't do their taxes that way or what have you, and they don't think it's going to make a difference. But, you know, there's a lot of good information online that speaks to charitable donations of goods and the good impact it can have on your taxes.
Well, that reminds me of a point that I didn't make earlier, is that I have some clients that the goodwill receipt ends up all over the place, and then it may never make it to their tax folder.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to put out there something I believe about the exchange of energy, is what you put out into the world comes back to you. So even if you don't claim it on your taxes, donating is still helpful.
Yes.
Because what you put out there comes back to you. Law of reciprocity.
Absolutely.
And some people worry that things, well, it's worth a lot of money. I spent a lot of money. Why would I give it to Goodwill? And, well, it's not useful to you, and it's not necessarily good for you anymore, so it's actually a barrier in your space. Doesn't it make sense to donate it to a charity where good can happen as a result of it selling in some form or fashion? So even those valuable things can come to Goodwill, and people can be assured that good is going to come, and good comes back to you when you put good out there.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, a lot of what you talk about, and we'll have to do this on another teleseminar, but just the whole philosophy behind the Goodwill movement that started back in 1902 embraces a lot of what you just spoke about. So that's really interesting, too.
Oh, good.
Let me talk for a moment, again, for our Central Virginia listeners. Right now in the month of January, Debbie and Goodwill have partnered for a Clear Clutter for Good donation reward program. And there's information all about the program on Debbie's website, letcluttergo.com, that I think all of you are very familiar with, or at our website, again, for our local Goodwill here, it's goodwillvirginia, all spelled out, .org. And the program, in a nutshell, is basically trying to help individuals get into a habit of essentially donating on average one time a week. We are providing prizes and an opportunity to enter a grand prize drawing to our donors who bring things to us four different times in January. So if you donate four times in January at select stores in Central Virginia or select donation locations, you'll get a frequent donor card, and once it's stamped four times, that sort of serves as your key to all the prizes. There's discounts for shopping. There is access to Debbie's online toolkit that's a $49.95 value. There's additional access, I think, to information on your other information on your website. And then, most importantly, it enters you that act of donating four times enters you into the grand prize drawing, which is a prize package worth over $1,000 that includes consultation free consultation by Debbie, as well as free house cleaning from another partner of theirs, River City Cleaners, and a few other goodies to help you get motivated and stay motivated with your decluttering for what we hope will be the whole year.
Well, and one other reward that people will get is if they get it stamped four times, they will qualify for a 90-day free membership to the paid part of the online program, which includes a monthly coaching call with me as one of the primary benefits. The grand prizes include a one-year paid membership to the Clear Clutter for Good online community.
Which that, to me, in and of itself, is worth well more than $1,000. And then you throw in the face-to-face time, which I've been fortunate to have with you on a professional basis, and I'm getting some of these tips here and there, and then the house cleaning. It's been a high motivator so far for our shoppers and donors and customers at those stores. And our local, check out the two websites I mentioned, because we're doing this program, we're piloting it at four of our local stores. So it's three of our stores in Chesterfield County and one, the one that's in Debbie's neck of the woods in Mechanicsville.
Great.
Well, we have wrapped up what we wanted to share with you. Are there questions? Does anybody have questions of us? We have a few more minutes so we can entertain a few questions. Anybody there? Teresa, are you there?
Sorry, ladies, I have myself on mute. Yeah, there are a couple people on the call. If there's any questions, I did make sure everyone's unmuted.
Great. Everybody's so quiet. Are you planning to donate? Are you in the area where you can donate? Anybody there?
Well, I think you just covered. I had several questions along the call, but you really answered every question I had, so it's really
wow.
Great. Especially with the computers, because, you know, I've had computers in my closet for I don't know how many years, so it's so good to know that that security feature is in place because it is something that's held me up. So that's
yes.
Really great information.
Yeah, I learned that, too, for the first time today. I'm really happy to know that so I can reassure people when they are needing to donate, and I know it's not going to move because the barrier is
right.
Getting the hard drive cleared off.
Yep.
Right. Well, if there are no questions, I think we'll conclude for tonight, and I thank you for attending this session. And both Ellen and I wish you well in your clutter clearing. Clearing clutter for good for you, your family, and the community. Have a great evening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.